All right, it's been a while since we have done this, and I'm pretty excited about trying to get back into it. If you are new, if you are watching online, or maybe you are new to this, we have been going through on Sunday nights, walking through a book of the Bible. We walked through Daniel, if you remember that. It took us about 30 weeks to walk through the book of Daniel. And here we are now trying to go back into the book of Ezekiel. So if you are new, if you're watching online or you're here and you need the previous week's Bible study, if you'll just call the office one day this week, we'll be closed tomorrow for Labor Day, but if you'll call the office one day this week, we can make sure that you have a copy of everything that we have done thus far, and you can move forward in the upcoming weeks. What I want to do this evening is to kind of recap the first six chapters that we've talked about. What you have in front of you are exactly my notes. So you have exactly what I'm going to be reading. The blanks that we are going to fill in are things we have already discussed, but I think these are the items in which I want to allow you to remember, things to put into your memory bank as we move forward in chapter 7, the things that we will continue to see all through the book of Ezekiel. So let's begin this evening. If you're following along, whether you be at home or here, the first very first week of the book of Ezekiel, we looked at an introduction in the background of the book. The theme is simply restoring the spiritual heart of the nation. The theme of the entire book on the book of Ezekiel is restoring the spiritual heart of the nation. The timeline for Ezekiel's ministry, there's many dates if you remember when we walked through this, but there's about five of them that I wanted to remind you of. 605 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar takes the temple treasures to Babylon, and we see there that Daniel was taken captive. In 597 BC, we see that the prophet Ezekiel is taken captive to Babylon at the age of 25. In 593 BC, we see Ezekiel's call to the ministry at the age of 30. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest. And we'll see that it was in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The call in which God had for Ezekiel at the age of 30 to tell the things that we see in his book. In 592 BC, we see Ezekiel's vision of the temple in Jerusalem. We will not be there next week, but the following week, the 20th of September, Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in mine house, and the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of the Lord God fell there upon me. Finally, in 571 BC, we see Ezekiel's message that Babylon will defeat Egypt. Ezekiel's message that Babylon will defeat Egypt. The next thing that we looked at was probably my favorite thing when studying this thus far is Ezekiel the man. And we looked at and noticed that Ezekiel's name simply means God strengthens or God will strengthen. His name means that God strengthens or God will strengthen. Finally, in week one, we wrapped it up with the idea that Ezekiel is one of the three that were called the captivity prophets. The other two were Jeremiah and Daniel. Ezekiel is one of the three that were called the captivity prophets. The other two were Jeremiah and Daniel. In our second week of the study of Ezekiel, we looked at the glory of God, which is the entire chapter of Ezekiel chapter 1. Here we began to notice that Ezekiel's vision of the glory of the Lord may very well be a key to all the visions in the entire Word of God. Ezekiel's vision of the glory of the Lord may very well be a key to all the visions of the entire Word of God. I don't have as much to read in between blanks, so I'm trying to give you some extra time. In the book of Isaiah, we have the principles of the throne of God. In Jeremiah, we have the practices of that throne. But in Ezekiel, we have the person who is on the throne. Isaiah is the principles. Jeremiah is the practices. And the book of Ezekiel is the person who is on the throne. As we mentioned a moment ago, Ezekiel's name means God strengthens. And as you walk through the Old Testament or you studied it before, prophets had a very difficult task in which they were to do. And the most difficult task of a prophet is to try to change the people's minds. To try to change people's minds. His goal, as you may know now that we have completed through chapter 6, was to go in and to counter against those of the false prophets, teaching and showing the things that those in the land that were the false prophets that were teaching was not of what God was calling or Jehovah was calling. So he was trying to show that the glory of the God himself can change their minds, but not only that, change their hearts. We looked at a couple of main points that week, probably one with the most amount of meat that we've had thus far. We looked at the glory of the Lord in verse 1. In verses 3 and 4 of chapter 1, we looked at the storm and the setting in which they are, the river Chebar, also known as the Great River or the Grand Canal. The river Chebar, the Great River or the Grand Canal. In verses 5 through 15, we looked at the cherubim. The creatures had the body of a human. In verse 10 of Ezekiel chapter 1, of special interest are their four faces: a man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. A man, a lion, an ox, and an eagle. Verse 10 of chapter 1 reads, "As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle." And as we walk through this, if you remember, man is the highest of God's creatures being made in the image of God. The lion is the greatest of the untamed beasts of the forest. The ox is the strongest of the domesticated beasts of the field. And the eagle is the greatest of the birds, and even a picture of God, a reference there of Deuteronomy 32, 11 and 12. But a very important part looking at these cherubim is the presence of the cherubim before the throne of God is assurance that God remembers His promise and cares for His creatures. The presence were not by happenstance. It was not coincidence. It was to allow us to know, as we're reading this many years later, and as Ezekiel was setting forth this vision, that they were before the throne of God, and is that of assurance that God remembers His promise, He's going to take care of His creatures. In verses 15 through 21, we're looking at the chariot, if you remember. We looked at the wheels. In verses 22 and 25 of chapter 1, we looked at the firmament. And the wheels, as we study those three verses of Scripture, the wheels symbolize the omnipresence of God, while the eyes of their rims suggest the omniscience of God, seeing and knowing everything. The wheels symbolize the omnipresence, and the eyes of their rims symbolize the omniscience of God, seeing and knowing everything. Finally, in that lesson, in verses 26 through 28, looking at the glory of the Lord, we looked at the throne. As we finished the first chapter, which would be the second week, we moved into week 3. And we are looking at and dissected the idea of Ezekiel's call, which was beginning in verse 1 through verse 3 of chapter 3. And we looked at the call of the prophet. We noticed and we read and we studied that he will now receive a call, a commission, and an endowment with the power for the office to which God has called him. He'll receive a call, a commission, and an endowment with the power for the office to which God has called him. If you have your Bible and you're following along, in verse 2 of chapter 2, we see, "And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me." In verse 2 of Ezekiel chapter 2, looking at the call of the prophet, we see that in Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit did not indwell all believers, but indwelt selected persons temporarily for divine services. The Holy Spirit did not indwell all believers, but indwelt selected persons temporarily for divine services. Verse 4 reads, "For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted, I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God." In verse 4 we saw, or we read, when God calls, he empowers. When God calls, he empowers. Continuing to move forward in chapter 2, beginning in verse 7 through chapter 3 of verse 3, we'll see, you will read, "Behold, a hand was sent unto me." And the question was asked, "Whose hand?" And Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 2 says, "So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll." That's a symbol, that's something to symbolize there. And there are only two scrolls described this way in Scripture. One is given to Ezekiel to eat in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. And the other is the seven sealed scrolls, which also bring judgment. And the reference to that is Revelation chapter 5. The second and final point of that particular lesson of Ezekiel's call, we moved into Ezekiel 3, which was the idea of the preparation of the prophet. This next line is something that I have now in my memory bank and read it oftentimes. "No man ought to preach the word whose heart is not in it and who does not believe every word he says." No man ought to preach the word whose heart is not in it and who does not believe every word he says. This was week 4, Ezekiel's call, part 2, verses 7 in chapter 2 through 15 of chapter 3. We looked at the first point being declaring the word of the Lord. We looked at two subpoints there. The first one was the idea of the messenger in verses 4 through 9 of Ezekiel chapter 3. And as we walk through the messenger and the things in which he was to do or was to supposed to relay or to listen to or to allow those to congregate around him to listen was the idea of speaking. The idea of speaking. One thing we realize as we walk through these verses 4 through 9 of chapter 3 is oftentimes when Ezekiel spoke, not everybody wanted to listen, but there were those, we called it the remnant, that wanted to hear what Ezekiel had to say. And as we walk through this, we saw that Ezekiel was the messenger, the people of Israel was the audience, and the Word of God was the message to be delivered. Ezekiel was the messenger, the people of Israel was the audience, and the Word of God was the message to be delivered. The second thing we looked at under the messenger was receiving. as he's trying to change people's mind, his idea or the thought was to receive the Word of God, which means to understand it and take it into the heart and the mind. To receive the Word of God means to understand it and take into the heart and the mind. And let's be honest, this third one was the hardest. Obeying. Obeying. Why would God send Ezekiel if he knew the people would not listen, so that God might be just when he judges? Aren't you thankful that when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ on that particular day, that it's the Lord Jesus Christ and not anyone else? Aren't you thankful it's by his standard, but it's also by his grace that you're not standing in front of those maybe that you've done wrong, who could cast a sentence on you that you could never even imagine, but God looks at you through the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. In verses 10 through 15, we looked at the messenger, and then we moved into the sufferer. The Spirit of God lifted the prophet up and took him to the place where the captives were gathered together and probably praying. And the reference is that of Ezekiel 3:12 and verse 14. Our fifth week, Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 through 27, was Ezekiel's call, part 3. Beginning in verses 16 through 21, we discussed and looked at the watchmen. The watchmen on the wall were important to the safety of the city. And the image shows up frequently throughout Scripture. They were to sound the alarm when trouble was coming. They were to rally the troops when that needed to take place. They were very important to the safety of the city. In verses 18 through 20, we looked at four cases that were very important. And I wanted us to discuss, if you're trying to follow along with your Bible, it begins in verse 18 of chapter 3. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning nor speakest. The first case we looked at was the habitual sinner who is not warned. The habitual sinner who is not warned. Verse 19. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. The second case was the sinner who is warned, but does not repent. Verse 20, again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but the blood will I require at thine hand. The third case that we looked at was the righteous man who apostatizes but is not warned. The righteous man who apostatizes but is not warned. Finally, verse 21. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. The fourth case that we looked at is the righteous man who is warned and remains righteous. The four cases. Verse 18, the habitual sinner who is not warned. Verse 19, the sinner who is warned but does not repent. Verse 20, the righteous man who apostatizes but is not warned. And finally, the righteous man who is warned and remains righteous. We looked at the upcoming calls as we continue to move this through this chapter. The call to the nation as a whole. It would kind of be like this morning's sermon. Our purpose as a church is a call to you to go with the commission that we've been granted. As we look at Ezekiel, the call, the commission, the endowment that comes through the Lord to go and to make disciples, but also the call to individuals, that it takes you as an individual to be a part of this unit. And we looked at the sign, which allowed us to look at and discuss glory. The question is, what about glory? If you recall, glory is something that produces a sensation on all five of our senses. The glory of God is something that produces a sensation on all five of our senses. Glory has size. Glory has beauty. Here's a mistake that I found on my end, but not yours. Glory sets forth honor and dignity. Glory has size. Glory has beauty. Glory sets forth honor and dignity. And then we moved into week six. We're still in Ezekiel's call. It's very important that we understand God's call for our life. It took us four lessons to walk through Ezekiel's call. Not that he was just called at 30, but what he was called to do, the mission that he had, the route that he had to take. And we must understand the exact same thing, that the call that God has for our life is something that is not to be entered into unadvisedly, but of utmost respect. Ezekiel's call, part 4, was chapter 4, 1 through 17, through chapter 5, 1 through 17. We looked at the Babylonian captivity. And then we look at, as we, if you remember back in the introduction, I gave you the outline of Ezekiel. And as we moved into chapter 4, I let you know that chapters 4 through 24 shows us God's judgment on Jerusalem. God's judgment on Jerusalem. The meat of chapter 4 and chapter 5 is the sign message, which is the siege of Jerusalem. Everything that he's preaching, discussing, talking about in these two chapters was a message that he was given, the sign message, and it was that of the siege of Jerusalem in chapters 4 and 5. We began in chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 through 3, the siege of Jerusalem. As we made our way through chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, we looked at the judgment of Judah. In verses 9 through 17 of chapter 4, we looked at the famine of the city. And as we continue to move into chapter 5, we looked at the destiny of the people. The message that Ezekiel was trying to relay at this point, the siege of Jerusalem, verses 1 through 3, the siege of Jerusalem, verses 4 through 8, the judgment of Judah, 9 through 17 of chapter 4, the famine of the city, and chapter 5, 1 through 17, the destiny of the people. The prophet Isaiah compared the invasion of an enemy to the shaving of a man's head and a man's beard in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 20. When we walk through these particular points back 25 weeks ago, I ask you to highlight this next line. I'm going to ask you to highlight it once again. Once a church has lost its witness for the Lord, is there anything left? Once a church has lost its witness for the Lord, is there anything left? May we not ever be that church. Week 7, we looked at God's judgment on Jerusalem, which is pretty much the chapter 5 of the book of Ezekiel. We looked at the judgment. If you have your Bible, Ezekiel 5:1 said, "And thou, son of man, take thee a sharp knife, take thee a barber's or razor, and cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard. Then take the balances to weigh and divide the hair." Hair was a sign of consecration of a priest. Verse 2 of chapter 5, what do we do with it? "Thou shalt burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city when the days of the siege are fulfilled, and thou shalt take a third part and smite it about with the knife, and a third part thou shalt scatter in the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them." So what does it tell us there in the judgment? There's a judgment of thirds. One third was to be burned. A second third was to be smitten with a sword. And a final third was to be scattered. The judgment of thirds, one third was to be burned, a second third was to be smitten with a sword, and a final third was to be scattered, which led to point number 3 of that particular lesson, which is fire. If you study Scripture, you will see that fire can be judgment or fire can be purifying. Ezekiel's whole theme is the recognition that God is God. Our purpose as an individual and as a church is to recognize that God is God. And our final lesson prior to this COVID issue was week 8, and it was the idea of the message of Ezekiel. We looked at part 1, which was Ezekiel chapter 6. Verses 1 through 14. God had commanded Ezekiel to remain silent, except for those times when God commanded him to preach a special message. In these two chapters, there are two messages of judgment from the Lord. Number one, the first explains the idolatry of the people, which I will be preaching on next Sunday. The first explains the idolatry of the people. The second describes the terrible disaster that would come with the arrival of the Babylonian army. That was the introduction of that particular lesson. And then we moved into a couple of main points. Beginning in verse 1 through verse 7, we looked at God's judgment of the high places. We looked at the mountains of Israel. We looked at the seriousness of idolatry. The prophets called the idols nothing or vanity, abominations, and horrid or obscene terrors. The prophets called the idols nothings or vanity, abominations, and horrid or obscene terrors. But in verses 8 through 10, that one line we looked at in Daniel and we've looked at thus far in the book of Ezekiel is God's grace to the Jewish remnant. Look with me for a moment within your Bible of chapter 6 beginning in verse 8. Yet will I leave a remnant, that ye may have some that shall escape the sword among the nations, when ye shall be scattered through the countries. And they that escape of you shall remember me among the nations, whether they shall be carried captives, because I am broken with their whorish heart, which hath departed from me, and with their eyes, which go a whoring after their idols. And they shall loathe themselves for the evils which they have committed in all their abominations. And they shall know that I am the Lord, and that I have not said in vain that I would do this evil unto them. There were some among these people who remained faithful to God. The nation as a whole went away from God, but there was a believing remnant. Isn't it amazing that the message that we have looked at thus far through the book of Ezekiel parallels to where we are as a nation? That we've turned our back, but God always blesses the remnant. God always provides a way of the remnant. Guess who that remnant is? That is those who understand the importance of soul winning. The last point that we looked at was verses 11 through 14, and it was simply God's weapons of destruction. The last line that I want to leave you with this evening, very important. Whether in blessings or chastening, the Lord's purpose is to reveal Himself to us in His love and grace. Whether it be the good times or the times in which we are in need of correcting, the Lord's purpose is to reveal Himself to us in His love and grace. And that may be you this evening. As you look at these verses of Scripture, as you read the verses in verse 12, you'll see it talks about the pestilence. In verse 14 of Ezekiel chapter 6, it says this, "So will I stretch out my hand upon them and make the land desolate, yea, more desolate than the wilderness toward the Plath and all their inhabitants, and they shall know that I am the Lord." One way in which we can show the lost and dying world around us is we show God's love and we show God's grace, even when those around us have no idea what God's love and what God's grace is. If you are here this evening and you have bitterness toward the Lord for maybe not answering your prayers, or you have bitterness toward those around you because of hard feelings or whatever it may be, I want you to know that God desires and wants to reveal Himself to you through His grace and through His love. May we be that vessel to the world around us, because the weapons of the Lord of the destruction is very real. God, we thank You for who You are. God, as we begin to move back and to look at the book of Ezekiel, God, may we understand Your love and may we understand Your grace. You showed Your love and grace to the remnant in which Ezekiel was preaching to, God, and You show Your grace to those today that I consider to be the remnant. May we be found faithful in Your sight. May we be high and lifted up. And God, may You prepare us and allow us to prepare our hearts week in and week out as we dig into and try to understand our purpose. Whatever it may be specifically, as a whole, as a church unit or body today, God, we have been called and we have been commissioned. God, may we fulfill it with Your love and Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.